The book of Revelation is a vision. It is an elaborate and extended and florid metaphor, pointing toward a reality that is wider and wilder than human imagination. The book of Revelation is also steeped in biblical references. It is full of strange monsters that are drawn from the book of Daniel and from the book of Ezekiel. It is filled with plagues reminiscent of the book of Exodus. It is filled with promises that ring with the joy of the prophet Isaiah. And at its end, at the end of it all, the new Jerusalem, the city of God descending from heaven like a jewel box. It is one of only a very few attempts in all of the Bible, one of only a few attempts to describe in any detail what awaits the human spirit in eternity. One of only a very few. And as beautiful as this description is of all nations living beside one another in the glorious city of God, as beautiful as it is, this ending is not what the rest of the book would make you think is coming. The beginning and middle and even significant portions of the end of the book of Revelation are all about a clash between good and evil, personified by, on the one hand, the people of God, and on the other hand, what is called the nations. Now, the conflict described in Revelation is one in which the nations are inflicting real harm and terror on the people of God. The nations have stolen and hoarded and devoured every good and wholesome thing produced by the land, gorging themselves while the children of the people of God went hungry. The nations had destroyed the temple, burned the holy place of the people of God down to the ground for no reason other than to show the overweening power of their hatred. But even so, all of this suffering at the hands of the nations, it would all be worth it because of the reward, because of what was coming. The great hereafter, the new Jerusalem, that is where the people of God would live forever in eternity with the Spirit of God dwelling among them in the sunshine of endless day. But there's one problem with life in the city of God for the great hereafter. The nations are going to live inside the city too. The nations that had done so much harm to the people of God, in fact, the whole city seems to be built around the need to accommodate the presence of the nations inside the city of God. First off, there's its mere size. It is enormous, 1,500 miles across on one side. It's a square. We read it's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Keep in mind that in the first century, most people wouldn't travel further from the spot they were born than 30 miles, perhaps. This city is 50 times farther than that just on one side. The size of the city, unimaginable. Then there's the tree of life that's in its center. And it says that the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. For them who had done so much wrong, for them the tree of life will bloom. Then there's the gates. The gates which would be perfect for keeping the nations out, except that they're always open. It says that the gates are never closed during the day, And because the light comes from the goodness of God in the midst of the city, it will literally never be nighttime again. And so the gates will simply be wide open forever for the nations to just come strolling in. Are the people of God really to have to share eternity with the nations after all that they have done? Greed and oppression and violence against the vulnerable. And now the people of God are supposed to spend eternity with them? Living inside of the same city? For a book that is largely about a climactic clash between good and evil, everybody living together in one big city is not much of a crowd pleaser of an ending. Revelation is a vision. It's an elaborate and extended and florid metaphor intended to point toward a reality that is wider and wilder than human imagination. And it is a challenging vision today as it was then, a challenging vision. Not because it is so fantastical. It is challenging because it is easy to understand. A growing clash, worse by the day, between people of goodwill and those who seem committed to hate. A very few devouring all that is wholesome and good from the land so that many must go without. But at the end of it, the city of God, beautiful eternity, where God will be among the people, the city of God wide open for those who are committed to hate, wide open to those who in life had devoured so much that so many had nothing at all, open, wide open for them? Really, for the people who profit by making weapons of war, or for the people who grow rich running detention centers for refugee children and keeping them in cages, wide open? For the kind of men who look upon vulnerable immigrants or the desperately addicted and see in them nothing more than an easy target for debased appetites, the city of God is for them wide open. This is a challenging vision. I believe that God's love is for all people. I believe that at the end of the day, God gets what God wants. And that what God wants is to draw all of her children close and to reconcile all things. But I just cannot stomach the idea. I cannot stomach the idea that the virulently racist man who gunned down worshipers in Christchurch, New Zealand, I cannot stomach the idea that he shall come strolling through the gates of heaven saying, "See, I knew I was right all along." It isn't just. It isn't just. That's the problem with this vision. I need for God to be most merciful, ever more willing to forgive than I am even to ask for forgiveness. But I also need for God to be just, never forgetting to set right what has once been wrong. How can God be both most merciful and fiercely just? How can it be? Revelation is a vision. It is an elaborate and extended and florid metaphor intended to point toward a reality that is wider and wilder than human imagination. And this vision of the holy city with its gates ever open, this vision points toward how God can be both most merciful and fiercely just. Now, I think I have absorbed and brought along with me a lot of ideas about the great hereafter. It's easy to imagine that the gates to the city of God would be something like wrought iron affairs, but all in gold, of course, and with the flooring made out of clouds, and a big long line headed up to St. Peter standing in front of a podium with a book, examining everyone who arrives, sort of a high-stakes customs booth. But the book of Revelation talks about it differently. Talks about entrance into the city of God quite differently. It says this: the gates are never shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it. People will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it. The gates, there are 12 gates, and they are always wide open, and no one is guarding them, and anyone can just come walking through. But they cannot bring just anything in with them. Whatever they have done in their life that glorified God or honored the dignity of humanity, the glory and the honor of the nations, these may come in. But abominable things like hate and malice and greed, those they cannot bring into the holy city. They will have to leave that behind. There before the gates, they'll have to throw it down. They will have to leave that part of themselves behind if they would enter into the holy city where nothing unclean can enter. The gates are never shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into the city of God the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it. Everyone who comes before the gates of the holy city will be made to reckon with the reality of their life. What they had done that honored God and what was a mere addition to human misery. The gates pose to every spirit a question. It is not the question of shall I be able to enter or not, but rather, how much of myself must I leave behind? And everyone who faces the gates of God will have some things they must leave behind. For some, if they have lived their lives dutifully and faithfully, it may be just a few small things. For others, if they have built their lives around hatred and meanness, it might mean leaving behind perhaps more than what they bring in. For a few whose lives have truly revolved around the debasement of others, little more of them might be able to enter into the holy city, little more than what might survive a passage through a lake of fire. God is most merciful and fiercely just. This is the vision of the never-closing gates of the ever-holy city of God. Anyone can enter, but they will have to leave behind those things of themselves that had brought nothing but misery and dishonor. What a gift! What a gift! For it is too heavy a burden to bear that I should have to carry my wrongdoings with me for eternity. It is far too heavy a burden to bear. My eternal reward will begin with what is perhaps God's greatest gift of justice. To know surely and rightly, fully, to know what I have done wrong and what I have done to honor God, and to be able to lay down my errors, to leave it behind forever, no longer a part of me, because nothing unclean can enter into the city of God. though God beckons me to come. Before I could ever enter into the city of God, I would have to lay down pride so that I could enter the gates of heaven bearing no mark of distinction beyond that of the name of God on my forehead. I would have to lay down pride and much more, I am sure. The very worst of my mistakes, to lay them down at the gates of heaven at the dawning of the last day. What a relief. And for you, whatever mistakes you may have made in your life, whatever memories you carry that even to think about them causes a flash of shame to come rushing up your throat and choke out your breath so that you cannot even bear to think of it, you will not have to carry that forever. God will not make you carry that forever. Before the golden gates of the city of God, the very first gift of eternity will be that God shall take your burdens from you so that you can lay them down and go. Go as light as sunshine into the dawning of a never-ending day.